Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray here. And I said Rock Cod Rick Mexa is still on his honeymoon, back soon. But Corey Sandin. MC Swim Baits, Corey is here co-hosting today. Always a pleasure having Corey on the show with his expertise. And Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute. And what a prize Mike brought. Huh?
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, an overnight trip on the Tribute. I mean, that Mike, that's totally cool. Yeah. One lucky caller. Lines are lit up, but give us a shout at 833-288-0973.
All right, time to find out what's biting there, Corey.
Let's do it. And the catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch. Now with Fish Pros at Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burgers at their amazing, Poke Kit at their convenient Liberty Station location, or order online at fishmansprocessing.com.
Let's talk to Captain Mark Wish from Pacific Edge with our private boater report and our fishdope.com reporter. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Corey, Mike. Great show here today. So
great.
Without a doubt, guys, this was a very interesting week of fishing. We've had some of the best of times and the worst days ever offshore these past few days.
Yeah.
So, starting along the coast, right here locally in my backyard, kind of quiet overall, surprisingly slow for this time of year, but oh well. Highlight is definitely those big yellows living on the mussel farm. And for you guys that think you're tough, just slow troll a big mackerel on heavy tackle with a lockdown drag super close to that structure. And hang on. We'll see how tough you are. Because, man, there's some tackle busters in there. And the hookup rate is not too bad, and the landing rate is definitely less. There's some good ones there, though. Yeah, Catalina,
how big are those fish,
there.
Mark?
You know, there's fish that have been caught out of there that are around 30. But ooh, that place, it's just a whole bunch of buoys with a whole bunch of lines and ropes and muscles, clumps of muscles growing on all that stuff. So it's horrible structure. They get in there and that stuff is razor sharp, and you know, you're just done. So you got to stop.
When it can see the bottom is as mean as they get.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I hear some good stories in the store for sure. But so Catalina, big yellows there also, quite a bit of it actually. Bass and bonita around for some fun stuff, but a lot of that yellow scattered all up and down the back, mostly backside east, backside west. And it's been good fishing, you know, it's pretty good. And again, pretty good grade there, 15 to like 25, mostly sardines and mackerels, look like squid's kind of done for the season. Santa Barbara Island, lots of yellows up there also, same thing, good grade at Nick. Guys looking around out there, didn't really find much on the exotics, but fantastic cod fishing for sure, and they're seeing a little bit of that tuna on the way home between Nick and the Osborne. At Clemente, not too much pressure this week with the tuna fish that's been around, but some big schools of yellow on the front, mostly down east toward, and some of it's been in the cove. And then offshore, definitely where it got interesting this week. You know, last weekend was like basically dead slow almost everywhere, and then a bunch of bluefin showed up. Backside of Catalina, kind of below the 172, and outside the Farnsworth there, all the way out to the 499. And for 3 days, man, it was like wide open fishing on that nice grade bluefin, and unfortunately, a huge fleet of boats on it. And then it either moved on or went deep, and boy, it definitely dropped off yesterday for sure. So we'll see where that stuff pops back up. And off San Diego, guys looking at a lot of yellowfin. Hopefully that gets with it. And more marlin showing up around the east end of Catalina down toward that 277. Mostly jig fish so far, like a lot of the early seasons usually are. And for the exotic of all exotics, more signal on the swordfish. Much more happening on the deep drop fishery here there. It looks like that part of the season's getting rolling also. So there's lots to do, and nice weather coming up. Sign up for fishing, guys.
Yeah, no kidding. And I know Danny and Jeff and the boys at fishdope.com have been on it every day. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code to get fishdope.com. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, the store is on the corner of Bolts at Chica and Edinger in Huntington Beach. The phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, man, there's a lot going on right now, and it just feels like it's getting better and better.
Oh, yeah. We're heading into the best months. Like Mike said earlier, September, October, and even November, man.
December.
Bring it on. Yeah, December. Yeah.
It was interesting, like, what you guys were saying, is it seems like the seasons are kind of changing a little bit, like everything else is changing. Everything's, like, getting pushed back a little bit. You know, it definitely feels like that. So, yeah, we definitely got the best yet to come.
Yeah, we're ready for it. All right, Mark, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that very much. And we will talk to you next Saturday.
You got it, guys. We'll see you.
All right, and while we're waiting for Marcos to get through to tell us what's going on at C4 Sport Fishing, I want to mention the winner of the CCA calendar drawing for August. The winning number is 1349. They win one cool tuna set of line labels so you can know which your line test is on your reels. I really like those labels.
It's kind of cool.
He did a nice job. It's one cool tuna.
Right.
Yeah, so congratulations. The winning number, again, 1349 for this CCA calendar drawing. You can claim your prize. Just go to CCA California's Facebook page or go to their website, ccacalifornia.org, and get on that and claim your prize there of the one cool tuna jigs. All right. Do we have Marcos? Well, he's not here yet, but we'll come. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for Marcos, let's jump into the phones.
Let's do it, Pete. Let's talk to Mark. Mark Cohn from Lakeside. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Doing good.
Hey, just a quick question for Mike. I saw some pictures on the Seaport website of the side scan sonar. How much of an area does that cover, and what kind of game changer has that been for the industry?
Oh, man. it has changed a lot. When I was talking about coming down here and working on the Coral Sea in 1996, it was where a lot of boats had just started adding. And the Coral Sea at the time did not have one. And there was, towards the end of the season, I think I remember Franker City saying, man, they're expensive, but apparently I have to do it. And you do.
It's a must-have.
Same thing, you know, especially going by a kelp or something. It used to be either you get up and stop on a kelp paddy or, you know, get close enough to look underneath it. Now, I mean, whether, you know, 200 feet away, 300 feet away, Not necessarily kelps, but like as far as this bluefin and stuff goes, we're talking about fishing some of that fish by San Clemente Island. You're seeing it 300 feet off your side, which you would never even have a clue of on as far as looking at it on the up and down. Depending on the sonar, the setting, what you're fishing, these big schools of bluefin, we're using our sonar out 500-600 feet, and sometimes
five or 600 feet.
Even past that, you hear them and you don't even see them. You start hearing that scratch on the sonar, and
wow,
as you get closer, but that's a long way.
Yeah,
that's the difference between turning on a spotted fish and never even knowing it was there, which is a really good possibility. I mean, and it's not just tuna fishing. I love using it for rockfish, yellowtail, just everything, really. It's a game changer.
So you can see on the bottom, you can see rockfish.
Oh, yeah.
And angle the cone down, and you're looking at the bottom in 30 to 50 fathom.
Yeah.
Hard spots.
Well, 500-600 feet,
there it is.
Depending
on
where you're fishing. But and it's funny because you don't think about rockfish moving, but they do, and they will, you know, according to current and everything else. But you go over a rock that you're like, oh, well, there's nothing here, and you have your sonar on, you're like, well, they're 250 feet, 300 feet on the other side of the rock. So
it
is definitely a game changer.
That's cool.
As far as some of those pictures go, I think we had one up that was on like a 400-foot, 360-degree ring, and the entire port side was a spot of bluefin that we were fishing out by San Clemente Island. And it's, you know, you get some of those. Some of the schools lately are so big, you never actually finish running them over. And it's comical. You'll be driving over them for a few minutes, and they're 500 feet in front of you, 500 feet behind you. 20 fathoms, 30 fathoms of fish underneath you. There's some big schools
That's
around.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Pretty
big
neat.
Schools. Hey, good question. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. All right, we continue with the one and only Marcos on the radio from C4 Sport Fishing. What's up, Marcos?
Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today? Hey, Mike.
Great.
Well, I'm pretty sure you guys are going to get a good overview of that offshore fishing there for those overnight and longer trips and, you know, starting to see a bit more of that bluefin and yellowfin again out there. It took a little lull for a bit there. It looks like it's picking back up a bit. Full day trip. Be careful with those. Some of them are trying to take a look at the islands. It's a little tougher for them. Seems like some of that stuff might be just a little out of reach for some of those guys there. But still seeing a little bit of stuff on there. Some yellowfin on the San Diego on Thursday. Yesterday, some bluefin and yellowtail. So going the right direction again back there. And then the half-day trip, still fishing, of course, locally there, catching those good rock fish in the morning, some calico bass in the afternoon, nice mix of fish on there. Some nice weather, and I know, especially if you live east of the 5 there, the weather's been really warm, so definitely good time to get out there, go fishing. Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. We have our full schedule up there for those half days, those full days, those overnight and longer trips. Check the full schedule there. You can make your reservations online. Always give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. More than happy to help you guys out. Get you out there fishing.
Yeah, and there's still fish to catch, and it's just going to get better from here, and time to book your trip.
Absolutely. Like I said, a little bit of a lull there, but like we've talked about, it just gets better from here on out. And again, some of our best fishing in the last handful of years here has been September, October. So plenty of room to go fishing, plenty of time, and get out there and catch some fish.
And some of the best weather, too, I think, in September.
Absolutely.
October, I'd say. Yeah. No doubt. Hey, thanks, Marcos. Appreciate that report, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Talk to you then, guys.
Yeah, right, thank you, Marcos. And our FishDope.com report is sponsored in part by the Sato Crimp and Winder Company with products for serious sport fishermen. Looking for a better way to get bit on these finicky tuna? Make your own seamless top shots down to 40-pound fluorocarbon with a Sato Crimp system. Easy, cost-effective, and big fish proven. It's all about bait presentation, and a Sato Crimp system will give you a seamless, easy-to-cast connection. Get the Sato Crimp and supplies at tackle stores like Fisherman's Landing and the Longfin.
Good
system
to
do. Oh,
it's a great system. And, and you talk about a seamless connection, no knot to go through your guides.
And Gary is a really good guy.
Oh, yeah.
One of those good guys.
Yeah, and now Darren Doy, who you know.
I didn't know this.
Is now the owner of the Sato Crimp
Seriously?
System. Yes.
When did this
and he's
go
gonna,
down?
It just happened recently. And so Darren's going to actually be on the show here next month.
An
so.
Even better guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Darren, not that Gary's not
well,
a good
no, they're
guy.
Both yeah. great guys. But and Gary's still involved.
Yes.
He's still, but Darren's
this is new news.
He's taken it to new levels. Let's just put it that
way. I like it.
Because he's a creative guy and has done a lot
Darren
in the industry.
Darren is very, very creative.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt about it. So watch for the Sato Crimp System and all those products that he represents.
And he's going to be on the show when?
He's going to be on the show in September.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like it.
So watch out for that.
Can't wait.
Let's go ahead and jump back of those jam-packed phones, Corey.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Randy. Randy Cohn from Costa Mesa. Thanks for joining us this morning, Randy.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Great. Awesome.
Good morning.
I just wanted to talk to Mike. I fished with him back in the early 2000s on the XL several times and really enjoyed my time with him. And it was just a lot of fun. And my question for him is, what's the biggest problem that you see with anglers on your day-and-a-half trips?
But in general, I wouldn't say there's... You know, one of the individuals called in earlier and was talking about going out on a full day, being skunked for the day, which unfortunately is a possibility. Our anglers, I mean, we've developed a pretty good following. I can't really say anything negative about them. They're some of them like to come out and catch fish and drink beer. I love that side of them. But as far as a negative standpoint, you know, that'd probably be the only thing is, you know, just we can't control the weather. We can't control fishing. The things we can't control are the cleanliness of the boat, the crew, the attitude, the food. You know, hopefully they're out there to enjoy that. And, you know, catching fish is always a bonus. But
that's a great way of looking at it, truly. I mean, you can only control the things that you can control. and I'm trying to put the angler on the fish. I mean, that's a mountain for sure. And like Ed from Mira Mesa, that was the caller. I mean, those trips happen where you just don't get bit.
Well, when you're sitting there looking at fish all day, that makes it
even more frustrating.
That's even worse. But it's like guys that hunt. I've had people that say, "Hey, man, well, you know what? Do we get a refund? You know, we didn't catch anything." I said, last three times I've gone pig hunting, I didn't shoot a pig. I didn't ask for my money back. It's
right.
You know, you're out there
part
for
the
experience. You get a look at them. You enjoy yourself for the day and what it is.
But we truly do get spoiled. I mean, get spoiled with world class fishermen like yourself, Mike, that run these boats and put us on fish and consistently. And the unlucky time when you're out where it doesn't connect, that's where the spoiledness kind of.
And we got to say a big kudos this year and every year to the Everingham Brothers Bait Company. Man, those guys just make it happen for us, right?
Our bait this year has been very
phenomenal.
Very decent. Yeah,
and they
good.
Just keep making things better. You know, I was out at the receiver last week making some mackerel for my little receiver I keep by my boat. And talking to the guys out there and the way that they clean those receivers, they build new ones
constantly. They've been on
constantly.
Top of it here this year.
They're really awesome. They just, yeah.
That's somebody you don't want to see have bad fishing.
No.
Bad fishing on their end probably doesn't do well for us.
So no,
We want Everingham and the company to keep having really, really good fishing.
But they keep at it.
And consistently.
Yeah. But thank you for fishing with me. I appreciate it. And hopefully come out and spend some more time with us.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Rich. Rich calling from Bradley. Thanks for joining us, Rich. Welcome. Let's Talk Hookup.
Thanks. First of all, a quick technical heads up. Everybody's voice is coming through loud and clear except for Captain Mike's. He's got kind of a hollow echo there. And if you get a chance to
all
look
right.
that.
Thanks,
my
Matt.
Question for today is about Colt snipers and wondering if that's a good solution for when the tuna are tuned into the tiny anchovies and nobody seems to be getting hooked up. And then follow up that with what are the right things to switch out for the split rings and hooks. You got any details on so I can be prepared when I get on the boat to have my jigs ready to rock and roll?
You know what? The Colt Sniper is it's among those jigs. I remember talking about this that specific jig on the show probably 3 years ago, and it blew me away when it first came out. We had a stop one afternoon, and one of the guy was a crewman on a boat up north, but he had six bluefin on one of our stops in a time when I think we had seven or eight bluefin for the entire drift. And it was when I had first seen it, maybe it was 4 years ago, but he brought it back, and I was looking. I said, "What's that called?" And he told me, he goes, "It's a Colt Sniper." I said, "Sounds like it's like some kind of firearm. Like, you don't really picture it as a jig, but they do. They're awesome. They're
small, bit.
Small, heavy jigs. You can cast them. A lot of these spots that we've been rolling up on lately, the little foamers and like that, you get a chance to wing one of those things, and you can cast them fairly well. They're heavy. They go through the air well. And a lot of times it gives you that opportunity to get bit before the boat even comes to a complete stop. And even after that, sinking them out, they do work very, very well. Between that and flat falls now, what a game changer from what it used to be. I'm not going to lie, the Chrome 6X Junior, some of our passengers that come out, Kenny Mochizuki, Vince Otani, that fish it well, they still get bit. They still exist. But that Colt Sniper, and same thing with the flat falls, there's almost no wrong way to fish them. As far as changing the hooks out, I really like the treble hook on most of the smaller grade bluefin. Once you start getting bigger, you start seeing fish into the 60-pound range. They do have some good replacements as far as replacing with a heavier split ring and just a bigger treble hook. I wouldn't go to a single until you start seeing the fish up into the 100-pound-plus range. You need those extra two on there. They're pretty darn handy.
There you go. And the jig swims better, too.
Well, they do. Once you start putting it's same thing with a lot of the old 45s and stuff. Guys start trying to change them around, and you know they're made to swim the way they're designed.
Right.
Flat falls, they don't seem to really matter. They sink, flutter, swim. Like I know one of the boats up north, I think Markland had put like eight or nine hooks on one of those stupid things, and it still got bit, and it got bit very well.
Just got a lot of hooks in
it. It seemed to make it better somehow. But for the most part, you want to keep it as clean and simple as possible.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about John? John calling from Huntington Beach. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, John.
Great show as always. And Hey, good morning. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
My question is for on the Tribute, what kind of engines do you have on it? And then what sort of fuel cost does that give you when, you know, at the end of the day, if you do a day trip on it, say a typical tuna trip, is it pretty fuel efficient, or how does that work?
Well, it depends. If you're fishing, like a lot of this has been, where you're fishing 30 to 40 miles, we replaced our engines about 4 years ago. They're 13.5 liter John Deere's, very, very fuel efficient at lower RPMs. Turns out, and it's kind of funny because the engineers at John Deere want us to run them full rack all the time, which...
Like what RPM is full rack?
2100.
2100.
So
yeah.
We at 10.5 knots, and the boat is a fairly quick boat for a bigger, you know, 10.5 knots, 11.5 knots is not a problem. At 1370, we do just over 10 knots, and that's burning about 6 gallons an hour per engine. At full rack, we do 14 knots, and we're burning 24 gallons an hour per engine. So these boats are not made to get up on plane. They're not made to go through the water. They're designed for 10, you know, 11 knots is going fast. Some of the old boats, the Pacific Queen, the Ranger 85, were originally designed to do, 35 knots for air rescue pickup?
Really?
And to do that on one of these boats now would cost you. I couldn't even
burning
imagine.
Some serious fuel there.
But
that's up and moving, man.
Yeah,
we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, myself and I think Gavin, and at that speed now I'd be terrified.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But on a normal overnight tuna trip lately, we burn about 200 gallons. The stuff that we're fishing up the backside of San Clemente, doing it on a one-day trip, you're, you know, doing 10.5, 11 knots the majority of the way, and you're looking at 300 gallons a trip or somewhere right in there. So, I mean, it's a nice change from what it used to be, the old 3406 cats that were in there that at the same RPM or at the same speed would burn an extra gallon and a half, 2 gallons an hour per engine. So it's
It's a
good day and age for fuel savings on these things.
Cool.
That's all right. Well,
hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this morning, John. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. More from Mike and the Tribute when we return on the Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, a summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
It's another innovation from Sea. Seaguar, the proven leader in saltwater leader material. Introducing new Gold Label Leader. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet, 18% thinner and 17% stronger than any other Seaguar leader. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates in clear water and on leader-shy fish. New Gold Label is made with exclusive Seaguar fluorocarbon resins in a double structure process which provides exceptional knot and tensile strength. Yet it's soft and cinches easily for fail-safe knots. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
Gotta love California in the summer. Just remember, COVID is still with us. So if you're going to the water, plan ahead. Follow local public health guidelines and make sure everyone wears a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having a great time with Mike from the Tribune.
Yeah, talking fishing here, and we're ready to go here, so let's go ahead and jump in the phones.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Bill. Bill Cohn from Mission Viejo. Thanks for joining us this morning, Bill.
Yeah, good morning. Quick question on for the captain on moon phase. Is it better to try and plan ahead down the road to go out on the full moon, the new moon, before or after? Does any of that count?
You know what? I wish there was a dead set answer for that. I've seen fish bite every day of the month, regardless of moon phase. I've seen them not bite almost every day of the month, regardless of moon phase. It does seem, what I've always thought, during full moons, it seems like you do have better evening and morning fishing. Like, the fish may be up feeding throughout the night, and I've thought about this over the years, and it still seems to stick. It's first thing in the morning. A lot of times you see really good morning bites, and then they're in the evening. But same deal. I've seen them bite all day or not bite, regardless. I know a lot of people, the Vagabond used to be really big on, bluefin set trips during a moon phase. And that was back when bluefin fishing was a little more sporadic. Now you can look at those darn things every day, regardless, full moon, quarter moon, no moon. They anytime you think you have them nailed down, they'll find a way to somehow ruin that.
So does it ever get frustrating for you, or is it just part of the job?
Well, it's frustrating. We had a really, really good charter group last weekend. Pinair, Alex Miranda, they've been chartering us for years. They do two-day trips with us. And it was probably the worst catching trip I've ever had. We went down the beach. We went looking the first day down below Ensenada. Ended up, the weatherman was off. Imagine that. We encountered just 15 to 20 knots of wind all day coming back up. We had two yellowtail. The following day, we had one yellowfin. We were talking about that earlier. Ooh. Fishing, the bait balls in the by the whales. And it is frustrating. And thankfully, it's a really good charter group. And it's just funny because some of the newer guys on the group go, man, we're usually killing the fish by now. What's going on?
And
it's
so, the
second day we had really nice weather. We looked at a ton of fish, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make every trip, everyone as memorable as possible for your group. You want to get them fish. You want them to go home happy. You want them to go home and tell their kids how great of a trip they had. And frustrating is a good way to put it. But, I mean, after doing this for decades, you take the good with the bad, and you make the best of it. You know, we had a bunch of guys get off that trip and said, hey, man, you know, we had a great trip. Food was awesome. Crew was friendly. Boat was clean. And those are the ones we can control. So.
Yeah, and that's like you said earlier. You know, you can only control what you can control, and you're going to make that the best you can.
Yes.
And the fishing, you know, you try to nail it, but it just happens sometimes where it doesn't work out right.
Frustrating. Thankfully, I don't smoke, but there was years, like when I first started running the Excel, I'd come back on the anchor at Aleos and nobody would be getting bit, and you start picking up cigarettes, which is a horrible habit. But,
yeah
you sit there and, you know, now it's sunflower seeds and candy.
There you go. Yeah. But when it goes off, it's all rewarding because at some point it's going to happen.
And it is. It is. We've had up and down days this week. And it's the same thing where you're trolling around, you're driving around all day, you have no fish on the boat, and then you get that one, you know, hot bite right at dark or whatever. And it changes everything. All of a sudden, and this goes along with long range trips too. You kill them on your last day. Those first 5 or 6 days don't matter.
No, completely forgotten, right?
Yeah.
What slow days?
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Yeah, let's talk to Paul. Paul Cohn from Bellflower. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup, Paul.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Hi, Paul. Good morning.
Okay, I have a question for Mike, but quick, I went fishing yesterday out of the west side of Catalina, and yeah, we didn't get any bluefin. Everybody was running around. Nobody caught anything. And then we just switched our guns and caught some really fun bonita, and but still had a great time on the water. So my question for Mike is, are you guys going to be building any, is anybody have any plans to build new boats? I mean, we're driving around on in older boats, and just wondering if anybody's going to be building any newer boats.
Yeah, you know what, there's most of the older boats have been upgraded year after year. Trying to build one of these things new now, it'd be really hard to pencil out. Like I said, to replace my boat with what it would be, you couldn't build it out of wood. It would never happen.
Like you said earlier,
mahogany planks, it doesn't exist.
Your mahogany would be over $3 million today.
That's the estimate on it, yes. So trying to replace like an 80-foot fiberglass boat now, it'd cost so much to build the thing that I don't think it'd ever pencil out. I mean,
so if they were to build a boat today, would it be out of steel, aluminum, fiberglass? What do you think?
Every fiberglass boat owner out there will vouch for this one. There's probably no better way to make one. I spent years on fiberglass boats up in Port Hueneme, the Mirage and the Pacific Eagle. They're pieces of Tupperware. You can't really go wrong with them. Unfortunately, they're really expensive. Same thing with, you see the price of steel, the price of aluminum. Some of these newer boats, the Intrepid, the Independence, the Top Gun 80's flip side, it's fiberglass. But it costs so much now that the ticket price and the charter price you'd have to see to make that work would be through the roof. There are some really nice boats that have been made somewhat recently, but aluminum.
Yeah. But you know, when he says aluminum older boats, right? You know, calling them older boats, but they're truly iconic vessels, like the Searchers celebrating 50 years. It is in no worse shape today than it was when it was built.
Well,
it is just a beautiful, like yours.
Yeah, no, it's gotten more and more comfortable, more and more efficient. There's air conditioning, there's fish hold systems that you couldn't replace them with something newer. It's as new as it gets.
And in reality, the Tribute today is probably a better boat than it was several years ago because of more efficient, newer engines, two generators instead of one, fish holds, all the different things that are there. It's basically a better platform now than it was when it was built.
Oh, they're 100%.
Yeah.
And trying to design a new boat now, these long-range boats are as good as they get. I don't think you can out-design one.
No.
This year was a minimal boat work year, and somehow there was still $140,000 put into it.
Boats are expensive.
We redid our heads, we redid our sinks, countertops, the wall coverings, the floor coverings, the wheelhouse, the seats, added a second generator. I mean, I'm one of those people that it can't be good enough, so you just keep going. And unfortunately, it's really expensive to do that.
Yeah. Imagine that, Corey. Just a little upgrade for $140,000,
right? And right into COVID.
Yeah, there you go. But thankfully, we were able to operate thanks to the efforts of Sport Fishing Association, Ken Frankie, and everybody's cooperation. It's been an okay year.
No. It's been July was outstanding.
Yeah.
But if I could redesign and build a boat right now from scratch, you'd have to win the lottery and retire on it.
Yeah. Well, you think about how thankful we are in the sport fishing industry that we have what we have today, and you look at other businesses that are really suffering today. It's like we thank our lucky stars what we have.
Well, and like I was saying earlier, and I'm not to point any other boats out, but you look at some of the guys posting pictures of what they were doing behind Catalina, and you look in the background, and there's gunny sacks full of dried out fish, and every one of our fish gets bled, spiked and goes straight in the fish hold. I mean, if we have 15 or 20 fish in our kill box, that's just because we're on the ropes and we're trying to get them down. But there's processes that have made everything better. You just it costs money and a lot more work just to do it differently.
Yeah, but to do it right, differently,
but to do it right. And there's I have nothing against any of the boats up there. We have to compete. We have to stay on our game and we have to keep upping it, and that's why we're constantly adding money or, you know, training our crew differently. And that's the San Diego fishery is as hardcore as you're going to get for competition.
No doubt. That competition drives excellence and therefore drives a better ticket price and a better experience for the angler.
It is. You know, your crew might be a little bit more educated. Boat might be a little bit cleaner. Your fish are going to be handled differently. John Stratton, John Bass, just got off a trip. He was texting me. He was up in Westport. And I'm sure what they had to deal with was a little bit older school. But I think he said between eight of them, they had like 160 albacore or something. So,
wow.
That's where you stomach the gun sack and the small boat and the choppy weather. And
there you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Yeah, let's talk to Brian. Brian calling from Wildomar. Thanks for joining us this morning, Brian.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Mike, a couple questions. I just went blank.
I hate that.
Processing, how is fish processing handled at T4? And my other question was rolling up on a patty, you know, you kind of scale down to 25 or 20-pound test, and you're rolling around on patty, you get bit by a yellowtail or whatever, how do you stop it from beelining to the patty?
A couple good questions.
Fish processing, you can still use any of the processors, whether it's Five Star or Fisherman's, Sportsman Seafood. If you prearrange it, usually that's the best bet. We do, on a lot of our overnight trips, I'll get a hold of Drew, one of the guys at Five Star, and say, hey, can you come pick it up? If not, they have to bring it to them. Usually any of the processors are really good about it. And there's also, I think, Kelly's doing his own pickup service. So I think trying to get your fish to them, your best bet is still going to be trying to get a hold of them in advance. Say, hey, you know what? I'm going out on the tribute. I'm going to be in probably 7 to 9 o'clock at night. Can you pick up? And usually they're pretty good about it. It doesn't matter which processor it is. A lot of times they need a head up, not, hey, can you come down here? I got 20 guys that want to give you fish at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. And just prearrange it.
Yeah, by far. I mean, we have a great connection with all of them. We can give, whether it's Sean or, Drew or somebody else a call and just say, hey, can you, line this up? As far as trying to pull a yellowtail out of the kelp on 25-pound, you know, it was just like the call earlier. When those fish can see structure, it doesn't matter how big they are. A 6 or 8 pound yellowtail on 25-pound will still somehow find its way back into the kelp. We had a stop, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, down by the 425. We had a kelp patty first thing in the morning. We picked up 54 yellowtail on it.
Whoa.
And at one point, there were so many people stuck in the kelp that we ended up with the kelp patty stuck to the side of the boat. And we had
the kelp patty to you.
And they were nice, great fish, 13 to 20 pounds on average. They're good ones. And we started backing away from it. I said, all right, the next guy who gets stuck in the kelp and brings it back to the boat is buying beer for everybody for the rest of the day. Like, we cannot do that. You get the kelp up, and a lot of times once those things get in the kelp, they're gone.
Yeah.
They'll just sigh
off, right?
Well, they somehow, between the kelp or whatever, they'll find their way to get the hook out of them. And you're pulling on that kelp for 5 or 10 minutes, and you finally get it up next to the boat, and there's no yellowtail in it anymore.
Yeah.
It's always a bummer. Your best bet, honestly, is pulling hard enough to break it off. Once it gets in that kelp, the success rate really goes down. I mean, just pulling that thing.
Just have enough drag, button down your drag, and just try and get it to you.
And if it's a good bite, you don't want to spend 15 minutes pulling on the kelp patty.
For sure.
When the guy next to you, picks up two or three in the same time period, you'd lean on them. You can pull pretty hard on 25-pound as long as your connections are set.
Yeah, but once they reach that kelp, the odds are pretty high that you're going to lose it.
Yeah, or you're going to spend, like I said, the entire stop pulling on that thing while everybody else is catching fish.
Yeah,
so
there you go. So maybe break, if you break them off, go tie another hook on and go catch another one.
If you break them off, at least you know what happened.
Yeah.
Pulling on that piece of kelp, it's a bummer when you think you have this big yellowtail you've been pulling on for X amount of minutes and you finally get it up next to the boat and you see the hook stuck around a piece of kelp and no fish.
Yeah, for sure. Good hip. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Yeah, some fun pandemonium for sure, talking kelp patty fishing.
Yeah.
Yes, let's talk to Dan. Dan calling from El Cajon. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show, and thank you so much for all the great information you bring us week after week. I really appreciate it, and I know many of the other guys out there do as well. My question is, what is the most difficult thing with this COVID that you have to maintain, you know, day after day on your boat?
You know what, it's not. In the beginning, it seemed like it was going to be extreme. You're trying to figure out how to, you know, completely sanitize the boat in between trips. I sat through a seminar with a few other boat captains. One of them was Jim Hughes or Rambo from the Cortez, and trying to find the best way to take care of our crew and our passengers. And that that it's just a commercial style fogger and a hospital grade disinfectant. We go through, and it takes about 15 minutes to do the entire boat. You go through each bunk, each curtain, each pillow. We do have vinyl covers on our pillows that can be cleaned, wiped down, sanitized. So what we ask you to do is bring your own blanket and your pillowcase, and then
that's pretty simple, really. I mean,
yeah,
to keep everything just clean and sano. You know?
We, like I said, sat through about an hour and a half long seminar trying to learn, you know, what we should and shouldn't do, and different options as far as different chemicals. But you know, it's something we go through and spray. It's got to be left on the surface for 10 minutes. You don't have to wipe it off, but it does cover everything. We hit the galley, hit the staterooms. That's been a big part of it, cutting down the load. We normally fish with 32 to 36 people, and 30 people on my boat is very, very comfortable.
Max.
Yeah. And
wow.
It's just a change that we've had to accept and we've gotten used to.
And how does that change the ticket price?
You know, we did go up a little bit, and we left a little bit of a buffer. If we book by one over, we still have room for it. But we just basically figured out the difference in price from what a full load would be at, you know, $270 as opposed to, you know, knocking it down a few people. It went up a little bit.
But not a lot.
No, we're at $290 for our open party trips right now.
So, yeah.
That also, we don't, Seaforth does not charge 3.5% for your booking fees. It's something that John and Jeff Umati, the guys at the landing, thought, you know, it's just better not to do that. So we incorporated a small part of that into the ticket price. But this way you're not getting hit with any extra, you know, it's like in the days of fuel surcharges. There's nothing hidden behind that. You get on the boat, you pay your ticket price, whether you book online, however you want to do it. And, you know, knocked down by a couple of people on a boat makes a big difference.
Yes.
Our standard open party load was 36. That still leaves six open bunks for us, down to 32. Four guys is a big difference. Two less guys on these trips now, 30 to 32. I'd hate to say it, my crew's going to get spoiled. They're never going to want to see bigger groups on the boat again.
More than 30 again.
When we were doing our open party three-quarter day, if we did any overflow trips behind the San Diego, we were doing 45 guys, which is still a light load for what that boat used to carry. And you come down the stairs, and you're like, oh, man, I don't like this. It's, you know, the way you have to do it.
The difference between five or six people, even two people, it makes a big difference
you
on
think
the rail.
The difference of five people at the bait tank.
Yeah.
Think about the five people in the galley, five people, you know, waiting for dinner, waiting for a head. Five people can be a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was it. I mean, our biggest thing is, you know, cutting down, making sure that everybody's got their mask boarding. Everybody, we do a straight COVID seminar, you know, please cover your cough, your sneezers. We did add hand sanitizer stations around the boat. We have antibacterial soap in the heads. Simple things. We put a trash can outside the head door so you can open and shut the head doors with a paper towel, drop your paper towel in the trash can, and not have to worry about coming in contact with anything else. I mean, there's a lot put into
like
it.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good question. Well, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that. Let's talk about food the Tribute. So overnight trips, day and a half trips, and multi-day trips, are there some trips where the food's included? And what do you do for meals?
Anything over 2 days on our open party trips, food's included.
Food's included.
Daniel's been our cook here for years. He's a great. He had a catering business. His claim to fame is he cooked at the Playboy Mansion, which.
Ah.
What else matters after that?
Yeah, hello. Right?
But on our standard open party trips, I mean, you can't get away from, if you're on the boat for one day, a breakfast burrito and a boat burger, whether I want something different in the menu or not, are your go-tos. Guys get on the boat, and there is something different about a boat burger. Or his breakfast burritos, I should not eat daily.
Okay.
And I've told him, I said, look, if I'm on the boat for a stretch, I'll do a breakfast burrito the first day or two because they're so good. So I mean, they're so good. And then day three, he goes, all right, so, you know, I want something lighter, and I shouldn't be eating a breakfast burrito every day. But no, just go ahead and give me a breakfast burrito. On multi-days, day-and-a-half trips or longer, usually, like, our dinners will be either tri-tip, New York, and it's full long-range style, you know. It's nice. Mashed potatoes, fresh vegetables, dinner roll, salad, everything. It's a sit-down and eat style menu, and it's really good. I mean, his tri-tip is the same kind of deal. It's kind of hard to beat. New York steaks. On multi-day trips, we break it up. The last two-day trip, you know, first morning was breakfast burritos. Guys wanted that. But they also have the option of ordering pretty much anything off the menu, whether it's a...
So you actually have a menu on the
menu. Yeah, a full, you know, bacon, egg, cheese, potatoes, or a breakfast sandwich. And then, like, the second day of a two-day trip, we'll do... Last 2 day we did biscuits and gravy, sausage, bacon. He has no problem adding sausage and bacon, which...
You're making me hungry now, Corey. I know.
And then we offer a snack, very, very similar to most long-range butts. Yeah, a fruit and maybe like some kind of breakfast cake. We'll do lunch, and then after lunch we do another order. It could be pizza poppers. It could be like a Mexican style, something like that.
It sounds incredible.
Well, eating is not an option. No. Yeah. If you can eat, and I tell people, we do offer a meal package. I said, if you're big eaters, you know, and one thing with our meal package, $50, which with the upgraded
That's
prices
for
lately.
For a how many day trip?
Per day.
Up to a day
and a half.
Up to a day.
But if you want two lunches, if you're a big eater, this is what you want to do. You come back for a second burger, you know, we're not going to tell you no.
$50.
That covers breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks,
and lunch. But you can have
the whole thing.
Two lunches?
If for you. Not,
really?
not for your buddy who didn't want to get into it.
Yeah. So I have my burger and I have my soda or whatever. I can ask for another burger?
If you can,
if I can stomach it.
If it's,
These are big burgers, though.
Yeah, we don't use the little quarter-pound patties.
That's a good deal for $50.
It's cheaper than Carl's Jr.
It is.
Yeah. So the meals are long-range style because that's where your training was. It's like
it's still one of those things. If it's just a day and a half trip, you're not going to get like a little chicken patty or something. It's tri-tip New York. I do have to say this. We had a guy come out, and I guess he was used to fishing on some of the boats up north where they use like quarter pound or less burgers, and he ordered an 8x8. And I think that picture's floating around somewhere. So my cook made him a burger with 8 patties and 8 slices of cheese.
Holy mackerel.
And somehow, apparently, he finished it and didn't die on the spot.
Wow.
He goes,
not that day anyway.
He goes, this is my normal go-to on a boat. I just didn't think it was going to be this big.
Holy mackerel. Well, let's try and sneak in another call, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Carl? Carl calling from Irvine. Good morning, Carl.
Hi, Carl.
We're on the show.
Is that hard to say, Carl?
Yeah,
probably.
Right?
Hey, good morning, guys. My question has to deal with bait presentation like you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I was wanting to get your opinion on when you would use a shoulder hook versus a butt hook versus a nose hook.
You know,
question.
Over the years, I've become such a big fan of shoulder hooking a bait.
Yeah.
It swims better. It does get bit better than a nose hook bait. Nose hook baits are awesome because sardines look like they're designed with a spot to put a hook. They have that little spot of cartilage right in front of their nose. Swim for hours. You see guys soak baits when you're doing plunker bites, and maybe not hours, but they wind them in after a while. And as you're dragging it through the water, it's basically forcing water through its gills. And if you're fishing the slide, it's a good way to go because if there's any drag behind it, if you belly hook a bait or shoulder hook a bait, and if you're not just completely dumping line on it, that bait starts getting drugged sideways. A nice thing with a nose hook bait is it's still getting drugged through the water, and it looks natural. Belly hook baits are great if you see fish boiling next to the boat and you need to get bit instantly. That bait, if you do it right, if it's a good bait, it'll hit the water and bolt, usually down. And they're good to fish for maybe up to a minute. After that, the drag on your line starts dragging those things sideways through the water, and it eventually ends up killing the bait.
And the presentation is not good.
No, only
after that first initial bolt.
Yeah, you think about it. You put a little bit of pressure behind your spool, and you watch what that bait does. The boat's drifting. If there's a lot of current, and if it's sitting out there and you're sitting in gear, the thing starts spinning, which turns into tangles. I mean, there's... You'll get tangled whether there's two guys on the boat or 30 guys on the boat. But some of those belly hook baits, you sit there and watch them, you know, spin. And one of the worst things you watch happen is guys trying to do that with an egg sinker. your egg sinker is going down, your bait's going out belly hooked, and it's going sideways. It's always a good way for tangles there. But it really depends. I'm still a big fan of the shoulder hook.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Good way to do it. Thanks for joining us this morning, Carl. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who won this overnight trip on the Tribute with Captain Mike out of C4 Sport Fishing when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what C4th Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder C4th Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new C4th, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. C4th Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check C4thlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Hey, it's time for the 30-second Power Pro Seminar. Here's the hot tip for those of us that like to fish with small reels for big fish. Fill your spools with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro. That means you're going to get more line on that small reel. Plus, you can fly line your bait more effectively. Here's another tip about Power Pro Max Quattro. Your casting distance will increase in addition to increasing your spool capacity. So downsize your tackle and use Power Pro Max Quattro. Check powerpro.com for more information.
Hi there, I'm Hayden from Fast Lane Sailing and Kayaking, Southern California's go-to spot for Hobie fishing kayaks right on the water in Mission Bay. Let me tell you, we have big things going on in the shop this time of year. This November marks the 40th year anniversary of Fast Lane Sailing and Kayaking. And as a family-owned and operated business, my family and I would like to thank all of our friends and customers for the support over the decades. We also have the brand new 2020 model year Hobie fishing kayaks, introducing new features like the automatically retracting kick-up fins, as well as the revolutionary new Mirage Drive 360, which allows you to rotate and steer your Mirage Drive 360 degrees, giving you 100% control over your fishing kayak. Hobie's also released a new line of more economic options, like the new Mirage Passport 10.5 and 12.0, coming in at only $13.99 and $15.99 respectively, while still including the Hobie Mirage Drive with comfortable raised seats and tons of fishing features. Get down to our shop, Fast Lane Sailing and Kayaking, right on the water in Mission Bay, and see it all for yourself. Or check us out online at fastlanekayaking.com.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3800 857 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We've had a fun 2 hours talking the Tribute fun. With Mike Pritchard. Yeah. I love it out of C4th. And one lucky caller today, Fiel in San Diego. You're the lucky one. You're going to be on an overnight trip on the Tribute with Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, for that. We appreciate that. And thank you. Great information and just superb operation, the Tribute out of C4 Sport Fishing, both the landing as well as the boat. If somebody wants to go on a trip with you, how do we do it?
Well, you can always book through TributeSportFishing.com. Take a look at our schedule. C4thLanding.com. You can give Marcos a call there at C4th, 619-224-3383. And always take a look at our Facebook page and see what we've been catching here lately. Looking at our schedule, there's one spot left for tomorrow night. Fiel, if you want to get in on that, but you better jump on it.
Is that an overnight trip?
It's an overnight trip. Nice. Monday night, we do have a day and a half, and with that fish going up the backside of the island, not a bad trip to jump on. But these one-day trips that we've been doing have been very, very good for the most part. And like I said, if we need to get up the backside of Catalina there, we got the speed to do it.
Yeah, so. Or Clemente or wherever they're heading, wherever those tails are taking them right now, right?
But thankfully, most of it's been close enough to where one-day trips have been key here lately. Yeah. So that's what we're going to stick with.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that, and thank you for listening today. Thanks to Corey, and thanks for all of you out there. Tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., Bob Dawson, the travel insurance expert, will be here. Good old Bob will be here talking it 7 to 9 a.m. right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. We'll see you then.